Yeah. Yes. All right. Thank you, Steve. Good morning. All right. Well, I am happy to be here. We love coming and visiting Allegan Bible Church. So 7 of my grandchildren come to this church. So wave, grandchildren. And I love that they get to hear this message this morning. My wife Cheryl, my daughter Bethany, wave you guys. Okay. Elisa is my daughter, and John is my son-in-law. And that's how we ended up with our connection to Allegan Bible Church. I've been serving at Youth for Christ, working with troubled teens for the last 40 years. And normally on Sunday mornings, I'm in the Kalamazoo County Juvenile Home leading 3 chapel services every Sunday morning. But for the next 2 Sundays, one of my volunteers is leading those 6 chapel services. And so I get to be here today to share the word, and then next Sunday as well. I do love God's word. My favorite thing that I get to do at Youth for Christ is meet with young people who have lost hope or never had hope, who are really struggling, locked up, questioning whether God is real or God loves them, and I get to come to them with the good news of Jesus and tell them that they are loved and that they can be forgiven and that they can be in God's kingdom forever, which there's nothing more awesome than that. Amen? Yeah. So, wow, thank you, Allegan Bible Church, for giving my son-in-law, John, the sabbatical that he is on now. Having served 40 years at Youth for Christ, I have had 3 sabbaticals in those 40 years, and that's part of the reason why I've lasted 40 years, to have that break, that time away to get refreshed and renewed. And so thank you for giving them that awesome gift. They were down at the Billy Graham Training Center this week. Well, I should say last week, because this is the first day of the week, right? Last week, and they had a wonderful time, and they wanted me to thank you this morning for that gift of sending them down there to the Cove. Cheryl and I have been down there for twice on 2 of my sabbaticals, and just a beautiful place to get renewed and refreshed. So, now we get to the better part. Well, no, I shouldn't say that, because my family is sweet, and I wanted to tell you about my family a little bit. So, anyway, I'm going to talk about gates and doors. Gates and doors are important because that's how we get in somewhere, right? If the gate is shut and it's locked and the door is shut and locked, we can't get in. And I want to share with you about a gate that I call gate number 24/7. And to do that, I want to show you Psalm 24. So let's turn together to Psalm 24. Father God, just thank you so much for your amazing love, and thank you so much for your amazing word. And I pray that you will speak to us this morning through your word, Lord, that it will be your spirit giving us understanding, speaking to our hearts, showing us things from your word that we need to know, showing things in our lives that you want to change and make better. Lord, just praying that you will please speak to us. Help us to have listening ears, Lord. Holy Spirit, please give us understanding. Thank you, Father, for your word and for your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I'm going to read the whole psalm. Follow along with me. Psalm 24:1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully, he will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, and the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Two times it says that we are to open the gates and let the King of glory come in. I think out of this message this morning, the Lord is he's pleading with us, let me in your heart. Let me dwell within you. This message came out of my own personal study as I was reading through the Psalms. And when I hit Psalm 24:7, it really spoke to me. And again, 24:7, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Have you ever had somebody knock on your door? And if you're anything like us, or especially Cheryl, sometimes I just go and open the door. I don't look, but sometimes we peek around the curtain, don't we, to see who's knocking on the door. And have you ever had someone knock on your door and you didn't open it? Raise your hand. Come on. Oh. Okay. Oh, it's those Jehovah Witnesses. I'm just not up for this today. Or, you know, oh, they're trying to sell something, or they got their clipboard. You know, they're probably going to want me to sign some political petition or whatever, right? So we don't open the door. Well, we can do that to God pretty easily, even though we're saved and he is there. We are his sons and daughters. We can easily shut him out of our lives. But in Psalm 24:7, we can see his perfect will is that we do open those gates and we do open that door so that the King of glory can come in. I've entitled this message Gate 24/7 because we find the command of God for us to open the gate and open the door so that he can come in Psalm 24/7. So it's gate 24/7 because he wants to dwell in us 24/7. Huh? How about that? Clever. Anyway, it's kind of silly, but anyway, I liked it. I memorized the scripture and it helped me memorize the reference because I'm trying to, you know, I can often get the scripture down and then I struggle locking in the reference. And it occurred to me that it's 24/7, and you know that expression, 24/7, that means just all the time, right? Our beautiful Lord and Savior wants to dwell in our hearts 24/7. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Look at also verse 9. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. This is repeated twice. That's significant. I mean, if the word mentions something once, that's significant, right? But when God repeats it twice, he's really trying to get our attention. So I want to look at, first of all, what is the gate and what is the door? To open this gate to the King of Glory, we must lift up our heads to heaven. You see that in verse 7, lift up your heads, O gates. So, yeah, we know what a head is. That's easy enough, right? Okay. Just lift your head up. All right. Look up to the ceiling. Okay. We can all do that, right? Well, it's a picture of looking up to heaven. And this is how this starts. We must lift up our heads to heaven, looking and listening, getting our focus on him. The eyes and the ears have always been, for centuries, known as gates to the soul. The eyes and the ears are what we let things in our minds, our hearts, our souls. And so I want to say that that's what the gate represents here, is our eye gate. Let's start with that one. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. And Jesus talks about the eyes, very, very important scripture. So we're going to read chapter 6, verses 22 and 23. These are the words of Jesus. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? The eyes let in the light. God is light, the light of God. Darkness in the Bible, you know, obviously represents evil, sin, Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus is saying what we set our eyes on determines whether the light of God is in us or not, or that darkness. Huge problem in our culture, not just with males, but females as well. And it's so accessible on the internet, and that is the issue of pornography. I use that as an example that when someone gazes upon that poison, that perversion, it affects the mind, and it can get into the heart, and it can poison your whole soul to be filled with that darkness. Jesus said, if then the light is in you, is darkness, how great is the darkness? You know, we can let the darkness in through what we watch, what kind of entertainment, what kind of movies, even what kind of books we're reading, what we're letting into our heart and our soul. Healthy eyes are the eyes that are set upon God, the eyes that are looking to him. I love what it says of Moses in Hebrews 11. It says that he endured by seeing him who was invisible. That's an interesting statement. He endured by seeing him who is invisible. Well, God is called the invisible God because the essence of God is spirit, and spirit is like the air. In fact, the Hebrew language uses the same word for air and for spirit. Air is invisible. You can't see it. It's life-giving, though. We can't live without it. God designed us that way so that every breath is a gift from God, him sustaining us and keeping us alive. Well, spirit is like air, life-giving, invisible, but we can be looking to God, walking by faith. I want you to think about this one right now. I left my cell phone in my car. I like to do that when I come into church. I just put it in the glove box. But how much time do we spend doing this? Right? I think if we were clocked on it, we might be a little embarrassed. And how much time do we spend doing this? Wow, Friday I had to do, I worked Friday. You know, technology, we use technology, and I had to do some emails and some texting. I had to fill out a report online, and of course I checked the news. That's how I get the news, is on my phone. We were sitting in our chairs in the evening, and I was trying to change something in my settings, and I went into, I was working on a new app that Cheryl's trying to get me on my phone, and it showed me how long I had been on my phone that day. It was 4 hours. I'm like, I was kind of shocked by that. Like, I knew I had to do a lot of work on my phone because at our house we don't currently have internet, so I couldn't use my laptop, so I was doing everything on my phone. But wow, you know, where is our focus? Our focus is going to determine our walk with God. Let's look some more and see what God has to say about our eyes. Go ahead and turn with me to Psalm 25. God actually has a lot to say about our sight and our eyes. Psalm 25, verse 15. My eyes, I like this. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Where was the psalmist's eyes? He says, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. I'm looking up. I'm looking to him. I'm walking by faith. I'm recognizing that God is the ever-present one and that he is always there. Turn with me to Psalm 123. 123, verses 1 and 2. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of the maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he has mercy on us. I lift up my eyes to you who are enthroned in the heaven. Lift up your head, O you gates. Get that focus on the Lord. Psalm 141, verse 8. But my eyes are toward you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Leave me not defenseless. There it is again. The idea of keeping our eyes on the Lord. A verse that I memorized many years ago because it has such deep meaning and it's such an important truth is Psalm 16:8. And it says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. I have set the Lord always before me. The word before is panim in the Hebrew, and it's the very word for face. So if you were writing the word face in Hebrew, you would use the same word that is Psalm 16:8, where it says, I have set the Lord always before me. I'm constantly facing him. I'm recognizing that God is facing me, that I am in my presence, that he sees every move that I make. He hears every word that I say. He hears every sigh that comes from my heart. He is that present. You know, I always tell the young people, I love to have them pray in chapel, and always I'll say, anybody want to, you know, say our opening prayer? And always one of the young men or young ladies will say, I'll pray. But on occasion, nobody raises their hand. And then, one kid will say, I don't know how to pray. And I say, well, you know, you can talk, right? Yeah, I can talk. Well, prayer is just talking to God. And we're always trying to help young people understand that God, when they pray, God will hear them. And the truth and the reality is that God is already hearing every word that we speak. Jesus said, be careful with your words. That's what he said. Because God hears. He said, you're going to be in account for every idle word that comes out of your mouth. That's what Jesus said. Wow. And I think he's just saying, hey, God is listening, you know. Keep that in mind as you're speaking and what you say. But God is always there. He's always listening. And we want to walk in his presence. Psalm 24:7, lift up your heads, O gates. Let's talk about the ear gate now. We are instructed multiple times to open our ears to what God has to say. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. That's an easy book to find. Last book in the Bible. Okay, so follow along with me. We are in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. This is Jesus speaking to the church. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 29. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Chapter 3, verse 6. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. Verse 13, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Verse 22, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Seven times that exact statement is repeated. Seven is a significant number in the Bible. Seven represents perfection and completeness. And God says seven times in those two chapters, you have an ear, listen, be listening. What is the Spirit trying to speak into your life? Check out Psalm 81. Verse 8 with me, back into the Psalms. You'll know that when I share when I preach, I like to let the Bible do most of the speaking. So I usually use a lot of scripture. Psalm 81, verse 8. Hear, O my people, while I admonish you, O Israel, if you would but listen to me. Think of the history of Israel and all the heartache and tragedy that came upon that nation. And it was because every time they stopped listening to God, they started opening their hearts to the false gods around them. And terrible things happened to the nation of Israel. And God is saying, listen to what I have to say. Psalm 85, verse 8. Let me hear what the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak. What is the main way that God speaks to us today as believers? This is the main revelation. This is the main way that God speaks into our lives. Now, he can speak to us through our pastors, through other believers. I believe he can speak to us through circumstances when things happen and we say, Lord, what's going on? That God can show us things. But the primary way that God speaks to us is through this treasure, through this holy word. Every day, I urge you, get in a quiet place and open his book and ask him to speak into your life. It is life-changing. It is transforming. If you feel hopeless, man, God can breathe such hope into you through his word. I can't tell you how many times through the years I have sat down so discouraged, but I knew to go to God's word and to open his word and to say, Father, speak to me. I need to hear your voice. Lord, I'm so troubled right now, and start pouring out your heart before God and maybe reading a psalm, and all of a sudden he breathes hope and life back into your soul, and you rise up out of that chair different than you sat down. So many times I have sat down a troubled soul to rise up rejoicing in the Lord because he spoke into my life through his holy word. Spending time daily in God's word will have a profound impact on your lives. I've probably said this before in a sermon here in the past, but I was saved at the age of 20 out of a very troubled life and addictions, and I was in a very dark pit, and God rescued me and set me free. And I learned what a treasure this book was. I praise God that I had some godly men come around me and teach me the word and its value. And I realized this is the revelation of God. This is a treasure. This book is so valuable. And as a young man, I made a commitment that I would read his word every day. I would get alone with God every day and read his word every day for the rest of my life. And that's one of the good decisions that I've made in my life. And I made that decision 49 years ago. And man, I just love being in his word. It is the ultimate soul food. It is so good. So we need to open the eye gate and be looking up to heaven. We need to open the ear gate and be listening. And now I want to close by looking at what the door is. So again, back to gate 24-7. Lift up your heads, O gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. So let's talk about what this door is. Okay, we got the eye gate, the ear gate. Turn with me to Revelation 3:20, and we'll find out what the door is here. This is Jesus speaking to the church. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." This is Jesus speaking to the church when you read it in the context. This verse has been used in evangelism, like you got to open your heart to Jesus, right? Which is true. And we talk about asking Jesus into our lives or into our hearts. But here we find Jesus standing outside, knocking, wanting entrance. So I was at a friend's house. They had invited us over for dinner, and they had the painting of Jesus standing at the door and with his fist like that, right? You know, he's knocking on the door, and it comes from Revelation 3:20, and you know, obviously, I knew it was Jesus, you know, I mean, all the pictures, you know, the long hair and the robe, and yeah, that's Jesus. He's knocking on that door. And I'm looking at this painting, and my friend said, "Do you notice anything unusual about that picture?" And I'd seen that picture before, but I had never noticed this before until I was challenged to look for something unusual about that picture. And I looked and I noticed that the door had no handle on it. There was no doorknob. It was just a door flat and it was shut. And I said, there's no doorknob. There's no door handle. And my friend said, yeah, that's right, because that door represents our heart and it can only be opened from the inside. Jesus doesn't come and open the door and then invite himself in. We have to open the door and let him in. And I know for me, that's a daily experience where I need to do that, and really an hourly experience when you think about it, just keeping that door open to him. I want to show you a prayer in Ephesians 3. Beautiful prayer. It's a sweet prayer to pray over your own life, over your loved ones. Chapter 3 of Ephesians, Paul is praying this prayer. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. And verse 16, that you know he would strengthen us. And then come down to verse 17. It says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 17 is a prayer that Jesus would dwell in our hearts. So think again of him knocking on that door and us opening our hearts and saying, King Jesus, I want you to dwell in my heart. You know, we can have him in our head, but not in our heart. You know what I mean? We can have the head knowledge, but we want him in our heart. The word dwell here in the Greek, it means to house permanently, that is to reside, and the word means to be at home in. And Jesus says, I want to be at home in your heart. I want to be at home in your heart. Well, for him to be at, I mean, you know, I asked the students in the juvenile home last Thursday night, I said, well, we were looking at the story of Zacchaeus, you know. Jesus, everybody hated Zacchaeus. He was a tax collector, you know, considered a traitor of, you know, working for Rome. And he couldn't see Jesus. You all know the story. And he was short. And he ran ahead and he climbed that sycamore tree because he wanted to get a good look at Jesus. And people were laughing at him probably. You know, look at all foolish Zacchaeus, man. I hate that guy, you know. But he's up there, and here comes Jesus, and Jesus stops at his tree, and he says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I want to come to your house today. And, you know, there's the mayor of Jericho over there probably like, I was going to have Jesus over to my house for lunch, you know. And he goes to that, what everybody considered the rotten tax collector's house, you know. And I asked the young people, I said, would you want Jesus coming into your house? And I could see the wheels turning, like some of them would be like, I don't think Jesus would want to come in my house. Because probably what's going on in there, right? Maybe some of the things that they're doing and so forth. Well, think of your heart as a home, you know. Are you letting things in your heart that offend Jesus? Is he at home in your heart? Or does he feel like an unwelcome guest? Sometimes I think, if Jesus was sitting on this couch, would I be watching this movie with him? We might shut some stuff off when we think about that one, right? Okay. So Kenneth Wiest, in his word studies, he was a Greek scholar, he translated verse 17 this way, that the Christ might finally settle down and feel completely at home in your hearts through faith. That Jesus would be at home in our hearts. The Amplified Version translates it this way: may Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. So a real sweet little book, if you've never read it, is called The Practice of the Presence of God. And there was a lay brother who worked as a cook in a French monastery in Paris in the 1600s. And he had learned to live so closely with God in the presence of God. And there's this little booklet with how he came about being so close with God, living in God. It's called The Practice of the Presence of God. And this is what Brother Andrew said. He said, it is not necessary to always be at church to be with God. And in his day, that's kind of what the people thought, that, you know, if you wanted to pray, if you wanted to meet with God, you went to church. That's where God was, you know. But they didn't think of God as maybe being in their homes. We may make our heart a prayer chapel that we can retire to from time to time to converse with him in meekness, humility, and love. I like that. To think of my heart as like a prayer chapel. You know, sometimes I think of my heart as like a throne, like is Jesus on the throne of my heart? You know, we pray your kingdom come. Yeah, the King of Glory, he wants to come in. And, you know, we look at Psalm 24, and there's these descriptions of who the King of Glory is. In fact, the question is asked, who, verse 8, who is the King of Glory? And then it answers it. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Wow. He wants to dwell in our hearts. We face some battles in life, don't we? Lots of struggles. If you want to live for Jesus, you're in a spiritual battle. Okay? There's spiritual warfare going on. And this King of Glory who wants to dwell in our hearts, he's strong and mighty. Mighty in battle. The question is repeated again in verse 10. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. And this word host means armies. He's the King of the armies of heaven. Like, he'll fight for us. Okay? He'll help us with our battles and our struggles. He's a healer. He is all about freedom, and he's the most beautiful one that we could ever open our hearts to and allow him in. So let's lift up our eyes often throughout the day to heaven. Let's keep our ears open to the Spirit listening. Let's make sure that we're spending time daily in his holy word, asking him to speak into our lives, and let us really hour by hour keep our hearts open to the Lord. When, you know, the moment we realize that we have offended him, that we have sinned, we just turn right back to the beautiful, compassionate Savior and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I have sinned. Dwell in my heart, Lord. Help me. And just that turning to him. Just a few simple applications as we close today. Number one, realize that the mighty King of Glory wants to dwell in your heart. He wants a close relationship with you. Doesn't want to be just some religious thing or a, you know, once a week Sunday thing. Man, this thing is driving me crazy on my ear. You see me keep, my glasses popping out. I don't know what's going on. Realize the King of Glory wants to dwell in your heart. He wants to be close to you. I would challenge you, application number two, to memorize Psalm 16:8. Very simple. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And to live, seek to live in a constant awareness that he is there, that he is always there every moment. Number three, realize that the King of Glory wants to be so near to you every moment that he wants to dwell in your heart. Know that many things in our life can squeeze him out and keep him out. Maybe, you know, some heart searching, soul searching. Maybe even during this message, something came to your mind. He brought something to your mind that is offensive to him, that is not right, that's not healthy, that you're allowing into your life. And you need to ask him to help you get free from that. And then number four, I need to constantly be looking up and opening the gate in the door and letting Jesus in. I can look up at any moment of the day, 24/7, and pray, King of Glory, come in. So that's what I had for you today. I hope you got a blessing out of it. And I will next Sunday we're going to look at a message called The Incense of Prayer and how God in his word compares prayer to incense. So that's what we'll be looking at next Sunday. So I hope to see you back. So let me pray, and then we're gonna do a close with a song. Yeah. Heavenly Father, just thank you that you are the King of Glory, King of all creation, mighty warrior king, Lord of hosts, God of all creation, and you look upon us with love, and you've made a way for us to be your children, to be your sons and daughters. What a high privilege, what an awesome identity that we have in you, Lord, to be able to call you Father, and that you long for a close relationship with us, Lord. Your will is that we, day by day, draw closer and closer to you, Lord. We never arrive this side of heaven and say, I'm there, I'm as close, God, to you as I can get. There is always room for growth and more understanding. And I just pray, Lord, that we could keep the gates open, Lord, and keep that door to our heart open to you. And I just pray you would continue to speak to us about this, Lord. Pray you'll bless the church family here, Lord, on this beautiful day. And just thank you for your love and your amazing grace. We love you and praise you and thank you for these things. In Jesus' name, amen.